The Fifth Sacred Thing by Starhawk. While Bird had little appetite for food, he craved sex. The big bed in the ritual room was in use every night. He lay nestled among Sage and Nita and Holy Bear, soaking up touch. Although he never spoke about fear, they could feel it leak from his skin. He wanted things he had never allowed before, hands on his scars, fingers kneading the strained muscles around his old wounds. Downstairs, Maya slept with Dr. Sam. He had appeared late one night and asked to come in. A fresh batch of cookies was in the oven that she had made for Bird, knowing full well he might eat, at most, one of them. Sam devoured a plateful while they sat looking at each other for a long time. His face drooped like a man burdened with too many years, and the lines around his gray eyes were deep and thick. His eyebrows, bushy white sprouts that shot up and furrowed deep when he concentrated, still reminded her of her father. Not a handsome man, but not unattractive. He sighed. "Hard day?" she inquired. "A hell of a day. We're getting refugees from down the peninsula. Casualties. I'd give a lot to have Madrone back right now."
"We all would, Sam. If you don't mind me asking, why are you here?"
"And I need you. I am nearly old enough to be your mother," she said, nibbling delicately at the edge of a cookie. He smiled at her. "At our age, that hardly matters."
"Sam, I'm practically moribund. Are you some sort of necrophiliac?"
He reached across the table, took the cookie out of her hand, and held it. "Maya, you are a beautiful, powerful, attractive woman. The lines on your face are the calligraphy of your history."
His thumbs caressed her palms, and she began to feel the old pulse in her vulva awaken, her breasts as hungry for petting as cats.
"Of course, maybe you don't want an ugly old geezer like me."
"You're not ugly, Sam. I would call you distinguished."
"Ruggedly handsome."
She pursed her lips thoughtfully.
"Well, rugged anyway, and I've always admired your eyebrows."
She felt an urge to touch them, actually, to pet the wiry and unruly hairs that adorned his eyes, and, having nothing to lose, she removed one hand from his grip and stroked his face. He closed his eyes, basking in her touch.
"I like that. You're a very sensual woman."
"You don't know the half of it yet."
"I'm eager to learn."
He smiled, opening his eyes and looking into hers with such warmth and friendliness that her better judgment began to melt away.
"I thought all that was over for me," Maya said. "Anyway, I'm not sure I remember how." "I remember. I'll remind you of any salient points you forget."
"But I don't love you, Sam."
"You will. Before this is over, Maya, we will need each other so desperately that we will fall in love by default."
He reached out and touched her cheek. His hand was rough, but his moves delicate, sure, a surgeon's hand, she thought. In some ways, he reminded her of Rio in his old age, grizzled but still cocky. How sweet it had been just to wake in the morning, curled up next to him, his back nestled against hers, to turn and hold him and smell his skin and feel his warmth. Yes, it might be nice to have that comfort again.
"Your skin is soft as flour," he said.
"What kind of flour?"
"No, flour, like baking flour."
"What kind of simile is that?"
"Can you think of anything softer or more sensual than dipping your hands into a mound of fresh white flour?"
"Maybe one or two things." She ran her hands over the fringe of hair on the sides of his head and over his bald scalp.
"Why do you sigh?" he asked her.
"After such a long, wild life, to think I'd end up with a Jewish doctor."
"You've had worse," he said. "May I kiss you?"
"Give it a try." He walked around the table, and she rose to meet him as he slid his hands over her back, pressing his lips to hers. Yes, her body was humming and singing in a way she thought was over long ago.
"I've had worse," she admitted. "Come on, Let's go to bed.